Today's episode of the Not That Great Podcast can be found where they're always found. All episodes found on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and TuneIn Radio. So find those, find us there, subscribe on whatever one of those services you use, and find us also on the interwebs on Instagram and on Twitter at Not That Great Pod and at NotThatGreatPod.com. We are back. It's been a couple weeks, actually exactly 2 weeks since our last episode. Spent a week in Los Angeles, eating everything in sight, drinking everything in sight. Came home, worked for a few days, and spent the weekend, this past weekend, Vermonting for Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there who may be listening. I don't think any mothers listen to this podcast, if I'm being totally honest. And also a happy Mother's Day to my wife, who is a mother-to-be. And that totally counts. So happy Mother's Day again. Yesterday, I watched a basketball game in which LeBron James looked like he had no clue what the fuck he was doing. And I don't know if it was disinterest on his part, and that disinterest then filtered down to the rest of the team, or if they're just, or if he's just tired of carrying everyone on the court, on the Cavs. But the Celtics manhandled LeBron and the Cavs 108-83 yesterday afternoon. And it was, I don't know quite what to say about it, on my own at least. But there was a lot of body language on the Cleveland side that was really petulant, immature. A couple of times guys staying back on defense because they were begging with the refs for fouls, LeBron in particular. And it seemed like they were really affected by the crowd as well. LeBron booed literally every time he touched the ball. So a little measure of revenge for the 44, I think, point blowout last summer in the Eastern Conference Finals, the game that I was at. So we're going to talk about that today. Me and podcast rookie Alex Brown, long time friend, first time collaborator here on the podcast. We'll talk a little bit about Houston and Golden State that begins tonight. Made a little headway on the features program we're doing. Having some people, friends of mine who like to write about sports and things that are kind of like adjacent to sports, but not really sports. And we'll have them on the podcast after they write those pieces. Those pieces will be up on notthatgreatpod.com as they become available. No timetable really for those. And then we're trying to do an episode the day after every game of the Eastern Conference Finals. And we'll probably do one, no matter who makes it, we'll probably do one for every game of the finals as well, if we can find the time. So expect episodes here in the next few weeks to be plentiful and basketball heavy. Probably do a baseball check-in soon as well, because of two very glaring, incorrect predictions I made during our MLB preview. One is that the Phillies would not make the playoffs. Two is that the Red Sox would not make the playoffs. So I kind of sandbagged both my teams, and they're proving me wrong. So we'll get back to that. But today it's my main man, Alex Brown, and Moose is in the house. So let's get going.
Make it a double, I can take it another. Get so hard to chase it, live up to. Yeah, it slides away when you're running like my Uncle David, who never lived to escape it. The trouble you were about to cave in, give up to talking in your basement, we decided.
All right, we're joined today by a longtime best friend in the whole wide world forever, and Celtics diehard, Alex Brown. First time on the podcast, and thanks for coming on, my friend.
Mm-hmm, no problem.
Let's
glad to be here.
Oh, I'm glad to have you. Let's start first and quickly with tonight's game one, and obviously we're going to talk about the Celtics at length, but this series is really dividing the basketball fan base, as it were, as a whole. No one knows who to pick. Everyone knows it's going to be seven games. I would agree with that.
Well, I feel like, I mean, I don't know. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I feel like everyone kind of, like, if you look at any of the projections on, you know, Worldwide Leader or whatever, sure. it's basically all Warriors. There's like two guys and Jeff Van Gundy who are picking the Rockets, which, I mean, I don't know. I feel like Houston stands a better chance than people are giving them credit for, just because, you know, Morey basically has gone with the this is how we are going to stop this specific team kind of model, you know?
Yeah.
But
I don't know if I hold that much credence to anything the worldwide leader says. And we can go ahead and inaugurate now that we won't refer to them by their actual name ever again. We can just call them the worldwide leader so as not to give them any respect.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine with that.
But they are, but they're notorious front runners, as evidenced by this morning when I was taking a shit and I had SportsCenter on in the background because that's all it's good for. And they were like praising LeBron's ability to remember five plays in a row. Like, I can remember five plays in a row from any basketball game. Like, and they're like, oh my God, even after getting blown out, still such a genius. Like, get the fuck out of here.
He's so that's impressive for someone like me, because I was doing bong rips when I was 12 and I can't remember what I said 5 minutes ago. But like, for a professional basketball player, like, he should be able to remember that. I'm just saying that is his job. And I doubt if he dabbles in the medicinal, if you know what I'm saying.
I would highly doubt that as well.
Highly doubt that. But I mean, you know, one of the things that is constantly overlooked, I will say, is the fact that he does have such an extraordinary basketball IQ, because he's such a freak show of an athlete that you're just like, wow, he's just physically able to do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's clearly...
check out the brain on him.
is that like the modern equivalent to he's articulate?
I guess. Oh yeah, he speaks so well. I guess it is. Yeah,
he speaks so well.
He's so well spoken. All right. So the worldwide leader, legendary front runners. So of course they will take the Warriors. But if you, I don't know. I've watched probably more playoff basketball this year and basketball in general this year than I have in many years past. And I don't see anyone on Houston able to defend Curry. I don't see Chris Paul. I don't see Clint Capella being the world beater he's been against a team in the West with legitimate stakes, even though his emergence is, you know, it's pronounced. And yeah, he's getting better before our eyes, sure. But, but this isn't the Jazz and this isn't, you know, the other also-rans, the other six teams that are no longer in the NBA Western Conference playoffs. This is the class of the NBA for the past 5 years. And so, you know, this the D'Antoni run and gun, I mean, everyone's looking forward to this series because this offense that Houston has matches up well, or doesn't match up well with Golden State, in that if Houston has the ability to put up 130, Golden State has the ability to put up 140 to respond to that 130, and more so than anyone else can in the West. So, I mean, I would have to take the Warriors, I guess, in seven. I've heard some Warriors in six, but I think it's a seven-game series. I think we're just staring at a seven-game series with no team at any point scoring under 100 points.
So things to consider. I feel like Eric Gordon has kind of been an underrated defender in the guard position for them over the course of the season. I think Chris Paul will be able to keep himself in front of Curry, especially since Curry is coming off his gajillionth ankle injury.
Yeah.
PJ Tucker is a tough, you know what. And I feel like really... Say what?
You can swear if you want. Tom, he's a tough son of a bitch.
I'll get into it. Okay. it needs to happen organically for me to curse.
Fair enough.
But with Capella, I feel like if he really like has that irrational confidence that so many NBA players are wont to have, he could have a hell of a series. You know, all it takes is that like, fuck that, I'm the best guy on this goddamn floor right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you come with a little bit of that oomph, which I think he potentially can, he could give them problems. I mean, he is not as defensively skilled as Draymond, but he's a right. big athletic body, and he's, you know, he's been playing lights out. So I'm just really fascinated to see the fireworks show, because it's definitely going to be bananas.
Yeah. All that, and we didn't even mention who's going to guard Durant.
So yep.
We didn't mention yep. him at all.
That is that whole one of the most offensively gifted players ever thing is
yeah. It's going to be tough to beat.
Tough.
And speaking of not speaking of not tough to beat, let's talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers yesterday, who
what a segue. We've been working
yeah,
on this.
Nice. Who played exactly 8 minutes of basketball and then gave up. I'm reluctant to file this under it being just that they lose the first game of the series, and that's just kind of how they do things. They played played an Indiana team that took them to seven, mm-hmm. and that Indiana team is much worse, although very improved, it's much worse than this Celtics team. Is it? I'm not going to call it a mandate either, though, because it's only game one,
mm-hmm.
and we know how the Celtics are undefeated at home this year. Do you think that this pace is sustainable for the Celtics, or do you think it was more of just kind of a just like an extended rest for the Cavs? They had that last series in five games. They sat there and waited and waited and waited, and they came out flat. They came out disinterested. They came out petty. They came out immature. They came out, I use the word in my intro, petulant. They were looking for ref help. They didn't get it because they weren't getting fouled as much as they thought. LeBron, mm-hmm. on two occasions, stayed in the backcourt arguing for a foul. Kevin Love
did
at one point.
Patented arms up, like, what
dude,
happened?
And then stood back there, didn't come forward, and we scored on that possession. And then there was one where Kevin Love, like when you told a five-year-old he couldn't have something, he did that, like, oh, man, like with his hands, like fucking tantrum style. And I'm like, dude, get back on defense. Yep. We scored on that possession. So is it just mm-hmm. like they just need their time to get back into their game, or are the Celtics legitimately that much better than the Cavs?
Well, I don't. Okay, so here's where I'll start. Because there's like so many different things going on
dude,
there.
Have at it, brother. Have at it.
LeBron is way too good to have that kind of a game again. Like, there's no way that he's going to have more turnovers right. than shots attempted or whatever the fuck the stat was. He did look lethargic.
More turnovers than shots made.
Yeah. He looked lethargic and complacent at times. And I'm one of the staggering kind of stats, which you would never imagine ever being associated with LeBron James, is that the Cavs were minus 32 when he was on the floor for that game, which is fucking unbelievable. And then, because I've seen LeBron pull shit like this so often, I'm like, is this some sort of fucking rope-a-dope? Like, is he just like, all right, what are they going to throw at me for game one? Yeah. Like, I'm going to take these punches and I'm going to take these jabs, and then I go into full fucking Terminator mode and just, like, completely demolish you? Like, I don't feel like he needed to do that with Toronto, because he just owns them. He knows he knows their sets. He knows what the fuck they're going to do.
Yeah.
Like, you can revamp your team as much as you want, but at the end of the day, your coach of the year is fired.
Right.
And LeBron, you know, he's going to adjust to this. He's probably going to drive more
mm-hmm.
in game two. He's probably going to try and look to get, like, you know, some sort of open lane, double screen. He gets, you know, into his juggernaut forward fucking throttle, and he could absolutely go nuts on us. However, having said all of that, the Celtics are fucking good, man. And one of the reasons why it's the Cleveland Cavaliers basically have, like, LeBron James and then a bunch of specialists. You know, it's basically like having a bag of golf clubs. They've got a driver, a wedge, a putter, but it's not versatile. The Celtics basically have a bag full of utility belts.
Yeah.
Like, they are long, they are athletic.
Mm-hmm.
They have bought into a defensive system and culture where they give just maximum fucking effort all mm-hmm. of the time.
Yep.
And there are dudes who are just perfectly built for that. Like my boy, Marcus Smart, who everyone shits on because he occasionally makes really stupid shooting decisions.
He really does.
But, like,
does,
you can't tell me he really does, but I will take that because defensively he's one of the best in the league, in my mind.
Yeah.
He can legitimately cover big men for, you know, not a long period of time, but he's good and strong enough to do it. And he's just engaged all of the time. Like, even in long regular seasons or back-to-backs, there's never a moment where you're like, wow, Marcus really took that play off or didn't defend that guy. Like, he is locked in all of the time. And between him and Al, and clearly who is now the second best defender behind Kawhi Leonard, Morris.
Yeah, Marcus Morris.
Like, they are able to, like, hold down the defense and basically, like, protect everything to a point where, like, it's not when Isaiah was there and you kind of had to, like, hide people and do defensive scheming to, like, get cute
get
and
free, yeah,
you know, kind of fix things. So you're able to kind of spend more of your focus on the offensive X's and O's.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And just they're not, Danny, holy shit, I went from, you know, screaming at my television saying the last good deal he made was P.J. Brown, and then he just completely fucking turned everything around, and I'm just kind of like, well, I was super wrong about Jaylen Brown, because,
yeah,
I mean, I wanted Buddy Buckets, I wanted Buddy Hield for that draft, but then we got this kid from UCLA that no one had ever heard of, and he's been fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's like the culture that Danny has drafted, like tough, focused, not afraid of taking a big shot, not afraid about going up against crazy competition.
Yeah, unselfish too.
Yeah, totally unselfish, willing to make extra passes. And I mean, Al Horford, God, that man, he is like our quarterback, like just everything defensively and offensively just kind of runs through him, especially now with Kyrie gone.
Yeah.
And the guys, you know, I remember, so during the game, he got a 3-second violation, three in the key.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, when was the last fucking time Al Horford did that? Like, he just doesn't make mistakes. So you're actually thinking back to, like, when was the last time I saw him make a mistake?
Yeah.
And over the course of a season, you could probably pick out, like, four or five instances where you're like, oh, geez, Al blew that one. But it doesn't, like, dude's so underrated.
Yeah.
So totally underrated.
Yeah. I remember.
And it goes.
I remember a bit of...
Just go on.
Oh, you go ahead. You go ahead.
No.
All right, fine.
After you, sir.
I remember a bit of like disappointment, and I had a little bit of it too when we signed him. And I was like, you know what? This guy's like, you know, if Duncan's the big fundamental, he's like the mini fundamental. You know what I mean? And I think we talked about it with I talked about it with Brian or Ian a couple weeks ago. But he's I remember one time, I think it's last year, he dunks over someone and then has just like the world's lamest dunk celebration where he just like puts his arms to the side and does nothing and then just walks away. And I'm like, okay, this guy is so vanilla, like white bread. But now on this young team, you need a guy like this who does all the things fundamentally correctly, because that filters down. He's the veteran on this team. So if he's the guy that you can emulate, then, you know, we're going to do a great job. All starters in plus, over plus 14. You know, two guys on the bench over plus 17. The Cavs had one guy in plus, and it was Osman. So, you know, team versus LeBron just carrying these guys that he
LeBron
traded
and
for.
Some guys
and then
who...
now is trying, now has to bury or else they're going to lose a series.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... what else stood out to you yesterday as far as, let's go with Cleveland defensively. And I don't know if it was just, because I didn't really necessarily see evidently the disinterest on defense that I did on offense. I felt like maybe we were just extra passing them to sleep, but they, I mean, to win by
well,
that many
they're
points,
just a bad
just like,
defensive team, period.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that
like,
it? I mean, I feel like they're a better defensive team than this.
Well, the Cavs have been atrocious on D, and they've had flashes, but that's really like LeBron kind of willing them into some, you know,
right,
kind of defensive surge. But they don't, you know, like you can see the difference. Like if you drop you know, you rewind to whatever part of the game and you see, like you were talking about with the Celtics, that extra pass, mm-hmm. their defenders are not able to close out or contest those because they're not in the right position because it's shitty defensive coaching. But, you know, when the Celtics are on defense, like they are whipping around and they are getting in shooters' faces. Yeah. And that's just, you know, that's cultural, you know, like that mindset has been with us that the whole season, and it hasn't been with them. And I think that that's going to be a huge factor. And also, again, like I said, as opposed to last year, we're longer, we're more athletic. We've got guys who are able to get in your chest. I mean, even you want to talk about like a Semi Ojeleye, like that dude's only 6'7", but he's built like a fucking moose.
Yeah,
like,
he's huge.
That crashing into you a lot, even if you're LeBron James and you spend, you know, $1.6 million a year training with Navy SEALs on a beach somewhere, like it's going to take a toll on you.
It's like body shots, man. You know, it's not going to knock you out right away.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll rock you to sleep.
Yep. And I mean,
No, go ahead. You can keep going.
Well, I was just going to say, like, one of the things that has been so, just getting back to my Celtics homer boner, is just what Stevens has been able to do over the course of this season, just making sure that everyone is in the best position to thrive, especially on the offensive end. Like, you know, Jason Tatum, who, holy shit, if you're in the conversation with Larry Bird, pretty good rookie campaign for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way Steven started him out was basically like, he was just like, all right, well, we know you can shoot. So basically they had him for the first quarter or whatever the season being a spot up shooter, like just pass and take a three. And, you know, up until, I want to say right around New Year's, he was leading the league in 3-point percentage.
Yeah.
And then they were like, okay, we're going to do a little bit more now. You're going to do some pick and rolls, but we're not going to have you do like 30 of them a game or anything insane like that. So he just, and now, like, Tatum does not look like a rookie.
No, not at all.
At all.
Not at all.
Like, he does not. And he's making correct passing decisions. You know, he's been incredible to watch, and the Celtics probably have the brightest future of any sports franchise right now. It's insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
There's one move that I'm thinking of when I ask you this question, and it needs to be made if you're the Cavaliers and you want to give yourself the best chance of keeping pace with this Celtics attack tomorrow night. Do you know what the move is?
No, do tell.
You got to bench J.R. Smith. You absolutely have to bench J.R. Smith. He is the most liable liability in the history of Cleveland Cavaliers basketball, at least in the past 2 years. I don't understand him getting starts in the playoffs. You trade for Rodney Hood. The dude scores points. He can shoot.
Rodney Hood looked like one of the brighter spots offensively yesterday.
You know what? To say that he looked competent yesterday, which is usually not a compliment, is the biggest compliment I could give the Cavaliers yesterday. But J.R. Smith got 10 more minutes than him.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny that they have like two of those trick-or-treat players on their team with him and the ultimate trick-or-treat Celtic, Jeff Green.
Yeah.
Where they will have that one game where they just go fucking nuts and score 32 points.
Yeah, seriously.
And you're like, yes, do that all of the time.
Yeah,
and
seriously.
Then they're just completely lost the next game.
Yeah, I used to be a very, very big Jeff Green fan. And then he just had
And then you watched more than a couple of highlights. Fade.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, oh, I'm only a fan of his because he made like 4 good dunks. But what has he done for me lately, you know?
Yep.
So, it's fun to see him. He gets a little few too many minutes too, I think. But I mean, yesterday was such an anomaly, though.
So, what else are they going to do though? I mean, look at what they got. Like, I mean, you know, with the exception of LeBron James, obviously, like, our top 7 players are just more talented than theirs.
Yeah. Well, maybe with the exception of Love. But he's so off and on, too.
Off and on, too, and he's not, you know, we had a little joke text back and forth about this one, but, like, you know, Al's going to eat him alive.
Like, yeah, no, Al I agree. Just, I think he is Very soft.
Smarter in every capacity. I'm not saying that Kevin Love is a bad basketball player by any stretch of the imagination, but
no,
he's not going to be able to hang with Al. Al's just too defensively sound. Kevin is a liability on defense for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I love Al Horford. That guy's so great. So underrated.
Do you think that, because there's this other narrative put out by the Worldwide Leader that the move is to have Tristan Thompson in there a little bit more to kind of bang down low with Horford.
But, which I'm fine with that because you know he has the Kardashian curse.
This dude is like, who is saying that this guy who's a bench player, he should be banging down there with Al Horford? Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, Tristan Thompson is not. You remember that like first like LeBron return to Cleveland championship run, and Tristan was like this young kid who kind of looked a little bit like a young Dennis Rodman. Like he was grabbing boards, he was physical. And
I remember
just,
he was good for a season. That was cool.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and it was like just that one thing and fell off a cliff, man.
Yeah.
He's not the same. So if he wants to bang bodies with Al, we'll be able to like move it around so that really he ends up running into, you know, barbarian by day Aaron Baines.
Yeah.
Dude looks like an extra from Game of Thrones.
He
it's
really does. He
ever.
Looks like he fired the arrow onto the funeral pyre. You know what's crazy, too, about Thompson is that he's somehow only 26? I feel like he's
the oldest old man in the history of the world.
Yeah, right? He's running around like later days Robert Parrish down there. I just like... Robert Parrish always looked old. So I'm talking about like old Robert Parrish. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're talking about like Hornets Robert Parrish.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, Tristan Thompson has like a gray beard. I swear he did, but maybe he doesn't. But like,
dude,
the Kardashians will age you. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So, yep.
He does not strike me as their best. If we're gonna say that on the block and under the hoop that Al Horford is the best, probably the best player so far in this series, obviously it's only been one game.
Mm-hmm.
But the answer is not, it's first of all, the answer is not one player, and that one player certainly isn't Tristan Thompson.
Tristan freaking Thompson.
Yeah.
No, it's not. I mean, it's going to take, you know, the same kind of yeoman's work from LeBron. You know, we're doing the exact same plan that we did with Philly. Really, we're gonna let you do this, but we're gonna lock down all of these white perimeter shooters. That you assemble. and let LeBron James get whatever the hell he wants. But one of the crazy things was is that LeBron didn't, which still is like there's this fear in me, like he's just lulling us into
waiting,
a false sense of security.
Yesterday, I was watching the game with my wife, and she, because LeBron was on the bench going in the fourth quarter, and she goes, "Is he going to come back out?" And I'm like, "He might come back out for like a few minutes, but if he goes back to the bench, it's going to be with like 6 or 7 minutes left, and he's not going to come back. And he's not going to come back in the game, right? And so at 6:31, he goes to the bench. We never see him again. And I'm you know, every shot that we put in, I'm like, oh yeah, this is over. And then my wife gets up and like goes to the kitchen or something. She's out of view of the television. And I go, Cleveland's got all their white guys in, it's over. And she's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And also my wife also said interesting.
Guys?
Yeah, she's like every all three of them. Including Kyle Korver, who started but still gets garbage minutes. So she was like, we've been watching. So I've watched every Celtics game this playoffs, even when we were in LA, when games are starting at 5 o'clock, which is the weirdest shit ever. And we've watched pretty much every game. She's watched almost every minute of every game with me. And she's like,
that's dedication.
I know. Well, yeah. I didn't give her a choice. It's the one thing I can't give her a choice about. So, and she goes, I think I actually really like playoff basketball now. And I was like, well, yeah, it's fucking playoff basketball. It's the best basketball there is. And it doesn't necessarily matter what two teams are playing, but she's been lucky to have this Celtics team be like her virginity breaking team into how dope playoff basketball is. And it's only you can only go up from here. So, and the only concern I have about that is that two of these guys in this starting lineup are going to be on the bench next year or not on the team because we're getting back two amazing players. So
yeah, that's, I mean, really at the end of the day, it is the best problem to have. It's like, whoa, shucks, we have too much talent.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And a potential lottery pick tomorrow.
I feel like it's going to be Terry who ends up going, which, I mean, I love you, Gary Terry.
Right.
But I think his stock is just so fucking high right now that they're going to try and flip him into something. I think we've only got 2 years left on his contract.
I can find out for you.
And I mean, you know, I have over the course of this playoff series done the, do we trade Kyrie? Thought a couple of times, but then I think back and I'm like, no, that's stupid. Kyrie is one of the most like special players I've seen in a long time when healthy. But
no, that's the thing. It's like
it's a tough problem.
You're watching Terry. You're watching Terry play, and you're like, holy shit, this guy's just playing his way right off the Celtics.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yep, you're too valuable now.
Yeah, exactly. He's like Foles. The dude won the Super Bowl. Everyone, luckily he re-signed, but dude wins the Super Bowl, becomes a meme, or not Foles, but Rozier becomes a meme.
Yep.
Everyone's ape shit for him. His profile's just rising. He's the 11th best played player on the team, and he's going to get a huge raise. He's not going to stick around for a hometown discount.
Oh, no way.
And the Celtics,
no way.
You know how they like to stack assets. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if they can flip something into, you know, I mean, you know, everyone always talks about the Anthony Davis trade, or, you know, the what can you put together for Anthony Davis?
Yeah.
And I do think that I would prefer sticking with what we have.
Right.
Personally, because I want to see Brown and Tatum develop together. And there's no way you can do that if you get Anthony Davis.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
One of them has to go, probably Jaylen.
Yep.
It's a good position to be in, but it's also kind of like, it sucks that we're going to inevitably lose one of these guys that we've like totally fallen for, you know?
Right. Oh, totally. Let's talk about real quick off of, let's say we'll get through this season. I'm not going to make any prediction about who's going to win the NBA finals yet.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the Celtics, you've got Philly out there lurking. And there's no way that the Cavaliers are back next year, especially if they lose a series. There's no way they're back next year as currently constituted. I will not mention Toronto in this conversation until the end, because Toronto is one of the biggest mirages in the history of professional sports. But if you're Philly, what's a move you make? If you need $34 million in cap to sign a frontline free agent. There's rumors that it's LeBron. It's not going to be LeBron. So if you're Philly, how do you try to, what can you do to keep pace with this Celtics team that blew you out 4-1?
Oh, you just keep developing TJ McConnell and you're set. I mean, that guy's clearly, I mean,
future
did you
franchise.
See how, the way he stared at his hand? He is ready to be an all-star.
Dude, he stared at his hand all the way to one win. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, yo, your career high is 19 points. You don't get to look at your hand. You don't get to do that, man.
Dude, I kind of wished I still lived in Philly for that, to see how fucking bananas they would be down there. Like, Jesus Christ, TJ McConnell. He's like selling used cars and shit now. The guy's a Philly legend.
Oh, yeah.
Off of
well, that was
one 19-point NBA
things,
game.
One of the things is that, like, he apparently, like, that fan base fucking loves him.
Yeah.
And there is a little bit of that, like, it's the same reason why Pats fans love Danny Woodhead so much, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Like,
yeah. No, that's a really
like
good point.
This little scrappy white guy is so relatable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, you got 19. Good for you, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We can aspire to be like you.
Yeah. But Philly,
like,
you didn't manhandle
really,
Philly in any of those games, right?
Ben Simmons needs to get a jump shot.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really, Ben Simmons needs a jump shot. Joel Embiid has to take better care of himself because he was clearly fucking gassed for some of those games.
Oh, he's headed towards Odin syndrome real fast.
You think it might be Odom? I was thinking that he might end up being like just a little bit more of a chuckster like Shaq or something.
It's the injuries, but, and it's the fact that he didn't get his conditioning back. And it was not a secret. They were mentioning it openly on the broadcast. He's not back to the conditioning of the rest of the team, and that means that sometimes they have to sit him at crucial times.
Yep.
And if he's in foul trouble, he's getting sat for extra, you know, 8-9 minutes at a stretch at times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's definitely things that they need to improve on. They do need somebody who can really create their own baskets, especially from a perimeter thing. I mean, it can't just be the two of them. And, you know,
right.
Marco Bellinelli, as dramatic as his confetti shot was, it didn't really materialize into anything.
It ruined the series for them was what it did. They lost that game because he made that shot and the confetti went off. 100%, I believe that.
Yeah. Matt, dude, can you imagine being one of the Philly fans at that game? You're just like,
kidding. Oh, dude. And it wasn't even close, and Philly's booing. Like, dude, it wasn't close.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Would you have... Okay, so let's get to the Toronto of it all, because I do not understand. We've covered Toronto on this podcast in that... we discussed that they have major problems. I mean, Ian Lyons were like, yeah, they have major problems. And then they had we had no other discussion about them in depth, really. But the main takeaway we had was that they need a rim protector more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Why fire Casey? Is it just because he was there for 7 years? Or is it because he won the coach of the year? They're like, ah, why?
Well,
it's not. I don't think it's a system thing there. I think it's
for
a personnel
time
thing.
In a row.
Yeah, so what? It's not. That's not his thing, man. He doesn't put the players on the court.
To a certain degree, yeah, he does.
He puts the players he has.
You did have some instances where you would have, you know, Kevin Love in the post being guarded by, you know,
Kyle Lowry or something.
Some random bench guy who's completely undersized.
Right, you can't even name that guy. You can't name who that guy is. Do you think that's a Dwayne Casey problem or a management problem?
Well, that's partially me just not really paying attention.
Well,
to
no,
Toronto
I don't. But I'm saying I don't know
much.
The names.
I
don't know
I can't
the names
remember
either.
The guy's name off the top of my head.
I don't either. That's what I'm saying. That team is two players deep, and that's not Casey's fault, and he shouldn't have been fired for it.
Well, so what I will say is that, you know, it's not always just what is deserved. Sometimes it's literally just the optics of it.
Yeah.
And if you get swept by the same dude twice, even though you've, like, revamped and retooled this team, and, you know, from all accounts, Masai Ujiri is not afraid of chopping off heads at all.
Okay.
And I feel like they plateaued with Casey, and they're going to have to blow all of that up. I mean, Lowry's contract is not sexy at all, and he's older. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough. And, you know, I don't think that Valanciunas did a terrible job in that series.
Yeah, but he's still Jonas Valanciunas. I mean,
very true.
Yeah, they're headed for a rebuild real quick. I feel like,
yeah, they've got to blow it up.
Your best, your guys that are leading the team can't be Lowry and DeRozan, especially if DeRozan doesn't want to play the fourth quarter of the game you're getting swept in, and that's all that was his ejection.
Oh yeah, he was trying to get kicked out.
Oh, he checked out the series
blatant,
in game three.
Blatantly did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so.
But, you know, with the Casey firing, it's like I understand the arguments on both sides, but really, like, at the end of the day, I think it was just more of the optics of it, really. I think it was just like, well, we can't have this guy bring our team to, you know, sweeps both times from LeBron.
Right.
And it's you're going up LeBron. It's funny because back in the day, like early 90s, there were those really solid Cleveland teams, but they would run into Michael Jordan buzzsaw every single fucking time. And now, like, Toronto's on that side of history with LeBron. And I mean, a lot of other Eastern Conference teams. He's done it to the Hawks, the Bulls. I mean, he, the Pacers, he ruins franchises. You know, he really does.
Yeah.
So no one's real fault. Is Dwayne Casey a bad coach? No. Is he, you know? Yeah, that's my Toronto take.
All right, so we're going to – do you think that the East is just going to be that wide open next year? I mean, I guess if LeBron goes to the West, I mean, it's Celtics atop the league, atop the conference.
Do you think he's going to the West? Because I don't.
You think he stays in Cleveland?
I mean, I don't know if it's – I don't know if he stays in Cleveland, but, I mean, it's just hard for me to think of him going – like, what situation in the West? I mean, people just say Lakers, you know, but really, what situation makes the most sense for him in the West?
Rockets?
He's on
the rumor list of 8 teams. You know what I mean? And he's not going to go somewhere to be, like, the catalyst for a rebuild. So that's why I don't think it's good to – I don't think he's going to go to the Lakers.
I don't think so either.
First of all, the last thing the NBA wants is a LeVar Ball versus LeBron James kerfuffle. Right? He is faded. He has faded. He has faded off into the sunset. He can go away now with Kanye West and be out of my sight forever.
If LeBron goes to the Lakers, he's going to go to that solitude.
He's going to the sunken place. If LeBron goes to the Lakers, then that is going to be because he's going to take all the shine off of everyone else on that team. Kuzma, Ball, everybody. Okay? And that team isn't better than his current team without him.
Yeah.
Right? So those guys are just, you know, save for Kevin Love, those guys are a phenomenal team between, you know, an 11 seed in the NCAA tournament and the lowest of the low NBA team, despite their record.
Yeah. Yep.
So for him to go there and be the Theo Epstein of basketball just to get them back to glory again, when he may only play for probably 3 more years or so, maybe 4. But there's just too many liabilities on that team for him to go there and get rings. He is looking at Ty Jordan, and he will not tie Jordan in L.A. And anyone who thinks otherwise...
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that.
...is fooling themselves, so... But I think that... If Houston goes down to the Warriors this year, I could see him.
I don't know how financially they would make it work, but...
I mean, but all these teams are on a list for a reason. They, you know what I mean? Every time, the one thing the worldwide leader does right is that they generally pick the appropriate finalists for a free agent. And if that team doesn't get, one of those teams doesn't get that free agent, everyone is surprised. And they should be, because the insiders at ESPN is the best thing that, is the best thing that they do. Right? As much as I think that Adam Schefter is like a camera hog, I follow his tweets religiously on draft day and free agency day. You know what I mean? So, because they generally know what they're talking about on the insider portion of their game. So, if the Rockets are on a list, that means that someone over there punched the numbers and were like, they could do this, they could make this move, they could keep their core and still add LeBron James and get him the 2 or 3 rings that he wants to get.
But that's assuming that would be a perfect pairing. I mean, think about like how much. I mean, obviously it's worked out, but how much people were like, well, who's going to be handling the ball when it's, you know, Chris Paul and then James Harden? They both need the ball.
Yeah, everybody needs the ball, right?
And, I mean, part of the way that was solved was because of D'Antoni wisely staggering their minutes together, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, basically one of them's always on the floor.
Yeah.
They've been kind of interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Because... they play, like, I don't know, like they, the run and gun thing that they did, that D'Antoni did in Phoenix isn't even what really they do now. It's like one guy is running and everyone is just hanging out at some part of the three point line.
Yeah, you're right.
Like
100%.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like LeBron, Harden, and Chris Paul is way too many ball handling kind of guys. And hey, it could work.
It didn't work for the Thunder this year, and you're talking about three less talented guys than those three guys, but you know what I mean? So
yes.
So let's then rule them out. So let's say that he doesn't go to Houston. He doesn't go to the Lakers, which is such a fallacy. It's not even funny. And he doesn't stay, right? So, Cleveland would have to make as many improvements as most of the other teams that he would go to, especially if they lose the series to the Celtics. And he's not for that. He's not right now, I don't think, for being the spearhead of, and I've already said it once, but being the spearhead of a team that's, like, on the rise. He wants a team that's at the rise, right?
Yeah.
So, and that means... Right now, that means Philadelphia. But I don't see that. I mean, I think that I'm influenced to say that because of, you know, everything you hear that, you know, he said something good about Ben Simmons once. So obviously he wants to go to Philly. Like, that's obviously false. So, like, so where do you think, and let's say we have 1 minute left. So let's,
well, if LeBron,
where do you think it's best for him
this.
To go?
Well, I will say just really quickly, if LeBron does go to Philly, Ben Simmons is going to get traded.
Right. Yeah, of course.
That goes without saying, I think.
Yeah, it would ruin his career.
Where does he go, though? Where does he go? Like, that's tough. That's tough because, I am not, you know, the guy who's hanging out on the trade simulators and all that stuff,
trying to
figure out like the best deal.
Right. No, but just think about like, the best situation. What's the best situation for him?
Man, you know, I feel like that's kind of dependent on what happens with Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, yeah, he's floating out there too. I totally forgot about that. You're right.
Because God only knows what happens with him.
Yeah.
And LeBron is his own market, so I don't think he would necessarily be worried about playing for a smaller market team. I mean, shit, he put Cleveland on the map, basically.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know.
Yo, hold on a second. Hold on. Let's take a break real quick, and then we'll come back and we'll continue, all right?
Okay.
So,
if we're talking West Coast team,
yeah,
I think the only thing that the Lakers would make any sense for is if they basically tried emulating what Boston did with Allen and Garnett, and if they're able to get Kawhi and LeBron, and then also have Lonzo, Kuzma, and yada yada.
And then you could bring to fruition the Paul George rumors too.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you know, that is a huge, you know, hypothetical.
Why does everyone suck Paul George's dick? I don't understand this. I've heard multiple analysts say that that Oklahoma City underachieved and they have three Hall of Famers on that team. And I was like, fucking who? Who?
Fucking who?
Two of them.
Like, honestly, to be perfectly frank with you, I don't really think Carmelo Anthony is a Hall of Famer, personally. He's kind of...
Oh, he's never
kind of
played in the finals.
A bunch of shit.
Yeah.
And then also, man, have we had any conversation about the playoff P thing? Which, good God.
It is the...
The best part was when he first announced, like, oh, you've never seen playoff P before? And you hear the dude who's interviewing just kind of go, ha ha! Just like, all right.
Dude, you remember that? You remember that buzzer beater?
You don't get to call yourself playoff P when you've never made a game-winning shot in your career.
Nah, he made that. He made that really sweet buzzer beater in that Gatorade commercial. That was nice. It really beat that. It beat the shit out of
that. That's the only game-winning shot he's ever made. Was in a fictional scenario.
Yeah, exactly. But he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
he played under some not so bright lights for most of his career.
I mean,
I don't understand that.
You know, but he's one of those players where because you know. He is one of those players where I think to myself, well, what if Brad had him? What if Brad Stevens had him and, like, coached him up? And what could he possibly do? But, you know, but really at the end of the day, he's just Paul fucking George.
George.
Like,
yeah,
I don't
think
if he's the third best player on your team,
right?
Maybe you're good.
Well, he
but
firmly
Carmelo
was
Anthony,
on the oh, no, he was the second best player, I guess, because Carmelo's terrible. But
oh, Carmelo was abysmal.
Yeah.
High usage, low efficiency. Like he is as much a dinosaur as a player like Jahlil Okafor. Like he is from a era that is long gone.
Yeah,
just doesn't work anymore, bro.
Yeah, well, he helped usher it into its death. So
yeah, he sure did.
So then, all right. So he's not gonna, and then we can also fairly. This is a Celtics podcast. We're talking about LeBron for like an hour. You could also pretty much write off any team that isn't Cleveland that's in a small market, right? So is it New York? Is it – I don't think so. Is it the Clippers? Maybe. I don't see why he'd go somewhere.
Clippers.
I think he'd want to go somewhere where he's the focus, but he's got a better supporting cast.
Yeah.
And wherever he goes, he's the focus. But if he goes to – you know, Miami, or if he goes to, you know, if he goes
Miami
to Detroit
return.
Or something, you know what I mean? Like, I'd love to see him play with Giannis, but he's not going to Milwaukee. You know what I mean? So, like,
no,
I just don't know where you put him. He could go to Washington,
and also, I wouldn't want Antetokounmpo to have to deal with
that
circus
and,
that I feel like he still needs to come into his own a little bit, and having LeBron there would be.
Oh, it would be extremely detrimental to him. Yeah, it would be fairly bad.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, should I just read off a list of every NBA team? Like, where I don't know where to put them.
Yeah,
I just don't know where to put them.
Like, whoever he signs with, they regardless of what team they are, they're going to have to dramatically overhaul everything.
Everything. Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be a situation where you can just plop LeBron James in there and it's going to work out. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Houston is kind of, a more kind of sexy take, you know, because it is like another like big team, star power, guy coming into his own, Capella, kind of like what Draymond was at one point. But yeah, man, I don't know. There's a part of me that just doesn't think that he leaves. I don't know.
So you think he
That's
stays.
Like the weird. Huh?
You think he stays?
I think he stays.
Okay.
I don't know why. It's just like this bizarre gut feeling that I have, but I feel like he stays. I really have no insider information of any kind to back that up. But
right.
I don't know.
I don't know if every. I don't know if any of the teams, specifically in the East, and maybe the Houston Rockets too, but I don't know if they disbelieve in them in their current system enough. Certainly the Celtics don't, but I don't think that they disbelieve in their current system enough in their progression to say we got to blow everything up and go get a LeBron. I think that it's possible that if you don't need to outlast LeBron the whole season. You might need to outlast him for four games at the end of a season, like the Celtics may right now. You know what I mean? So really, you don't have to beat the Cavs. You have to beat the Celtics.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're a better team. And you have to be a team also. You can't be, unless he gets the kind of big three thing you were talking about going around him, then you don't have to have that many superstars. It doesn't have to be top heavy. You know, you can have five guys that would be like an NBA, all NBA third team. You know what I mean? Or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think that with that in mind, that the easiest place for him to go, and I know that you don't want to get rid of Simmons, but I think that if he does leave, it's to Philadelphia. I think now, I'm coming to that conclusion based on the conversation that we literally just had.
Yeah,
but I still think it's easier for him to do what LeBron James does and be the head coach and general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers, because that's not necessarily the case wherever else he goes. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have the stack anywhere else. He can't go to Philly and be like, you signed so and so, right? Philly's like, who the fuck are you? We lost to the Celtics last year, but so did you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I think that it's easiest for him to. I think it's easiest for him to stay. If he does go, it makes most sense for him to go to Philly, and I think that you can plug him in for Simmons, and Philly can get a huge asking price for Simmons, and then build complementary pieces. But that's so many moves to make that I think that
Ben Simmons to San Antonio.
Right? Hey, I still feel like do you think the Celtics are legit in on Kawhi or no? Not with keeping Jaylen Brown, they're not.
I personally don't really. There was a period in time where if you had mentioned the names Davis or Leonard to me, I would be like, fuck yeah, give them whatever they want. I don't really feel that way anymore, considering what this young team has accomplished together. I mean, there's something said for a built culture and chemistry, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to fuck that up.
I agree. It's like the 04 Sox. You know what I mean? No superstars, all chemistry. Right?
Well, I mean, there were superstars on that team.
But they were eventual superstars. You're only superstar on that team. You got Pedro and you have Pedro, Schilling, and Manny.
Manny.
Right? Ortiz is not a superstar yet.
Yeah, that
okay?
is true.
So you got a couple, but also you're diluting that because this is a 25-man team, not a 15-guy team. Right?
Yeah.
So then everything that Millar and Damon do and Bill Miller and all those guys do and Dave Roberts, all the role player guys, right?
Yeah.
They are what made that team. You know what I mean? So that was Ortiz is becoming a superstar before our eyes. He isn't one yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's all about this, like, why not us? We're all in this together as like a family.
Yeah.
And also, I don't think that anywhere that LeBron goes, I can't think of a team where, even when he's won a championship, where that was the mentality of that team. That's like those Heat teams are just, you know, three assassins. His Cavs teams are just him.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to
For a little while there, it was him and Kyrie.
I mean, the littlest of wilds, man. You know what I mean? And they only got one together, right?
Yeah.
So, but that doesn't, I mean, that's two guys, you know? It's two guys.
Yeah, no, and that's clearly not enough, especially when you're going up against the, you know, fire-breathing dragon out of the Bay Area.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. So, let's, all right, let's end on this, even though I was going to end before we took a break and then kept going. So if we're predicting the future, and I'm going to use a wrestling term, we're going to fantasy book it. So if the Celtics do make it out of the series, and which if they play the way they did yesterday for the remainder of the series, they should and will. Who do you think is in the other series? Who do you think they face in the finals? We'll start with that first. Who do you think they play in the finals?
Who wins, should they get through Cleveland?
Who wins the Western Conference Finals is the question.
Well, I mean, it's going to be Golden State, but I want it to be Houston.
Right. Yeah. I'm all about that. I'm all about teams losing that are good, but I'm all about them losing just to keep it fresh. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 I really have enjoyed so much watching Houston this season. They've been so entertaining and dynamic. And I mean, also, I'm just fucking sick of Draymond. I remember loving this guy and, you know, I mean, he's still, he's an amazing basketball player. Yeah. Defensively, he's one of the best I've ever seen. He can pass and distribute.
Yeah.
He's, but good God, just stop talking. Stop, yeah. And he always acts like he's the fucking victim. It's like, you know, the media is talking about me and saying things that aren't true. Really? It wasn't true you kicked 100 people in the dick one season? That wasn't true? Because we can rewind that footage if you want.
Yeah, yeah, we can.
God, and I was so wishing that there was going to be a bigger explosion between him and playoff Rondo. Mm-hmm. I wanted that. I was like, oh, yeah, these two head cases just slamming right into each other.
Oh, Jesus,
that's
going to
be great.
Oh, that would have been, they wouldn't even have fought on the court. Just some like mental warfare after, like someone would have found like a flaming bag of shit in the other one's locker or something like that. Like, it would have been some fucking making a murderer shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been great.
So let's say with who you think.
But I'm officially, I am going to say Boston Houston. That is my pick.
Boston Houston's your pick. What are
emotional pick?
Right, that's fine. Your pick is your pick. What are what are their legitimate chances? The Celtics' legitimate chances against Houston.
Well, we have beaten Houston before.
That's true.
I was actually at that. I was at that game where Smart dated Harden into, you know, completely blowing the game with the offensive fouls, which was amazing to watch.
Yes, yes.
But Chris Paul didn't play in that game, so that's a huge factor in there. But, I mean, you know, like, they're not scared of anybody. There's not a single mentally frail dude on the Celtics, and they're just not afraid of star power or offensive scheme or anything. They're just going to, like, attack. That's what they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Celtics in the finals, you'd pick, it would be seven games regardless.
It would be Warriors or
Rockets, yeah.
I mean, I think I would slightly give the edge to Houston in the finals, and, you know, obviously more of a edge to the Warriors should they make really, it doesn't, for the Celtics, it doesn't matter. Like,
it's all house money.
Far outseeded. It's 100% all
house money. Yeah.
100%. So it doesn't even matter. But I think that Houston probably would just be a little bit too much firepower for too long. Unless we just had Marcus Smart and Terry just completely go into full on attack dog mode and try and shut Paul and Harden down like aggressively. But.
Right. You know, I think it's like what always exposes itself in, to borrow a term, winning time. But what always exposes itself in the playoffs in most sports is one of two things. It's either age or it's youth, right? So if you're old and you're making a long playoff run, that's going to come out. If you're very young and you're making a long playoff run, that's going to come out. If the Celtics make it to the finals, I think that their youth will show a little bit. I don't think this is a. I don't think this is a team that's not susceptible to pressure of, you know, the lights and the cameras and that. You know what I mean? I think that they're very poised right now, and they're on this run. You know, but we've seen runs like this fizzle out in the past, and I'm not going to say it's definitely going to happen, but I will say that if I'm going to pick a problem that could take them down if they make it to the finals, I think that this would be it.
Mm.
I think that their youth would show. So,
yeah. Well, it hasn't so far, so that's
good. Right. Well, that's good. And every day that it doesn't, it further disproves the theory that I just laid out. And that's fine. I'm good with that. But I just think that it's one of those things, you know, they say the only undefeated person in sports is Father Time. And the other way, the second most undefeated person is, it's not a person, but it's Mr. Inexperience, if you want to say that. But it's inexperience. Mm-hmm. It's inexperience with legitimate stakes, which is my favorite sports term that I came up with over the past 2 years. Legitimate stakes. Legitimate stakes will expose cracks. And I think that, I'm serious, and I think that would be the biggest downfall of the Celtics going forward if they, you know, if they make it to the finals. Last question for you. It is not Celtics related. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna make it mandate that it be Celtics unrelated. You cannot pick Jason Tatum for the answer to this question. There's a rookie out there. You're most excited for his next chapter next year. Who is that rookie? Ben Simmons is not a rookie.
Ben Simmons is not a rookie.
No.
I mean, Donovan Mitchell.
Okay, good.
I mean, that kid was electric, you know? I mean, people need to slow down on the Allen Iverson comparisons.
Yeah, very much.
Stop it.
Oh, easy.
Because stop it. Also, easy. I mean, so Donovan Mitchell, that would be my pick. And then also my one of my greatest what-ifs for that I think about constantly is what the hell Allen Iverson would do in modern NBA.
How do you mean?
He wouldn't be – so he was his rookie year was what, 95, 96?
96 sounds right to me.
96 was his rookie year?
Yeah.
So there was the game was still very much different. And if you give Allen Iverson enough of that space and pace kind of basketball, I think he would have been averaging like 32 points a game. Like
the way the game is now?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I think you're right.
That's just something that pops in my head every once in a while.
I think he
is. What would a young AI do in modern day NBA?
I think modern day, first of all, I think
present day, I should say.
I think prime AI is in modern day NBA is the most dangerous with the game on the line, has the best handle.
Yep.
Is probably the fastest player.
Dribbling a ball.
Quickest off the dribble. And is probably, I wouldn't say he's the least defendable player because LeBron is playing now, but he's the firmly the second least defendable player
in the modern NBA. 100%.
So I'm going to pick for the own question that I made up and didn't answer before I made it up. I'm going to pick, I always liked De'Aaron Fox. I always liked his game. He is unfortunately buried in the second mention of the sunken place that is the Sacramento Kings. But I think that, you know what? He had a rookie an average year. You know what's weird too is that they put out like three rookie teams. I'm like, relax. But anyways. Yeah. So he was on the third all NBA rookie team. I'm like, so was everyone.
So he was drafted, is what you're telling.
Yeah, exactly. You pick 60 rookies. You put 25% of them on all whatever team. I think his upside is underrated, and it's mostly because he plays in Sacramento. You know what I mean? But I don't think that anyone sees what he can do because of where he plays. And I hope that he gets a little more. I hope he gets a little bit more.
You hope
exposure.
That he gets out of Sacramento.
Yeah, hope someone trades to get him out of Sacramento. I mean, he played well in the summer league. He's a solid player. Didn't light the world on fire, but again, Sacramento. You know what I mean? So yeah. I don't know. I'd like to see him a little bit more next year. I'm gonna kind of get into, you know, being up at 10:30 at night when Sacramento Kings game starts here in New Hampshire.
Yeah, no kidding. That's one of the toughest things about keeping up with some of those.
Oh, dude. When I was in L.A., man. I was in L.A., we go to watch this game at 5 o'clock, and it's like, all right, time to go to, 8 o'clock. All right. like, what do I do now? I was out there for my birthday, 2016, and I went to watch an Eagles game. I'm my birthday's in October. Watch an Eagles game starts at 10 a.m. the night after my birthday, when I'd been drinking most of the night. And then woke up the next morning, I was like, oh, God, the Eagles, And then started drinking again, and then I was like home by 6:30. I was like, "What the fuck do I do now? There's no more football game. Like, how could you watch? How could you be a football game or a football fan on the West Coast? It boggles my mind."
So you feel that the appropriate way to like cap off, you know, the whole thing is to just get hammered and pass out like that?
Yeah, if I'm gonna watch 12 hours of football, it should end at my bedtime. Appropriately, like an adult, just do me a favor. You know what I mean? Like, I put so much effort into this marathon of football I'm going to watch on a Sunday. Just help a brother out. You know what I mean? But anyway, so yeah, I'll say Fox, and if I hadn't eliminated the Celtics from this conversation, it would obviously be Jason Tatum. So,
totally,
yeah, 100%. All right, totally, buddy. Alex Brown. I love you, man. Thank you so much.
Love you too, bro.
All right, bud. We'll talk soon.